Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
I grew up with like two sports mad brothers and brother who I shared a room with when I was 10, 12, and early teens. You know, he was a mad Liverpool and Celtic fan.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
You're listening to OTB's Breakfast Bite. Yeah!
Not my words, the words of Colm Keyes. Investigation shows more counties slipping into debt. This kind of, we were talking about this yesterday. The figure was like 4,600 euro, I think, the average cost for a player. But
is that the average cost for a player or the average amount of money they're down?
Down, I think. Wasn't it down?
Because I don't. The first thing you're saying sounds interesting too. I just don't know. I know they're down about 4 grand. That's what they were looking for back.
Yeah. To claim it back. Yeah. So following that, some of the 11 county boards which ran deficits in the 2024 financial year carried losses in the six-figure region. Roscommon, Tyrone, Monaghan, Waterford, Kilkenny and Tipperary recorded deficits above 100 grand as the margins between income and expenditure tightened in a number of counties in 2024. What are the actual repercussions for slipping into debt for counties?
It's a good question.
Liquidation.
Where'd you go, Leon? Yeah.
The county
what
ceases
happens?
To exist.
It's not a business.
It's interesting.
I don't know. Like,
you can go into as much debt as you want.
Yeah, because a lot of smart people are running these county boards. So to see these figures, quite concerning. But then you see Galway, for example, spending the most of any county again, 2.7 million. Cork and Tip also 2 million. Obviously, these being dual counties, probably have to take that into account as well. But Galway also generated the most income, just over 6 million euro. And one of the biggest surpluses, 733,000. So these figures aren't insignificant. You know, like there's huge money we're talking here. For a lot of counties. But yeah, to see more counties slipping into debt is slightly concern.
Number one, how does one county get into more debt than another county that are quite similar level? And then number two, how do you get out of debt?
The first part is probably just to do with the difference in the money, I suppose, you're bringing in through fundraising or sponsorship or whatever else.
Well, that is cited, yeah.
Like, I think it's probably some of them are amazing at it. And some of them have long legacies of doing it abroad and wherever else, but... You know, like I can't cite where the fact came from, but I know since McGuinness came back after that first year he was back, I'm pretty sure Donegal raised and either an extra or whatever it was, but it was 500,000 more or less, half a million.
That's down to the boy, isn't it?
It's down to get a little bit of momentum going, and all of a sudden it's kind of people want to be involved and people want to support.
Yeah.
It.
Concerning.
But sorry, do you know what I mean by that question? It was like, not so what? Because, Jesus, massively worrying for counties. But it's just like, what happens next? Like,
it'd be great to find that out. I don't know.
I don't know.
Can't go to the wall. Like.
No.
What happens with it? Like, but like it's like Division 1B in hurling. Where'd you go?
It probably does hurt you, though, in terms of like the team will just fall away. Because it's just like...
Because the actual practicalities of it is what? Your facilities aren't as good.
Your prep isn't as good. Your people you're hiring aren't as good.
Nutritionists might have to go if you don't have enough money, strength and conditioning, then you fall behind physically.
Yeah.
And that's where the disparity happens in the
pitch.
Do you know what happens? It happens a lot. You can see it in the slightly below elite level hurling counties.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I won't cite any counties because it's anecdotal, but you know like that in certain of these counties that the footballers and hurlers are treated differently. And kind of you need almost, if you don't have kind of really inspirational, smart people in with the smaller hurling teams, like one or two people there who are really well equipped can make a huge difference. And then you see counties go up. But if they're gone, boom, right back down. Because they're not getting the same support, they won't generate the same money, they won't fight for the same things as effectively with a county board. So you can see where the money, like not, and that's, they're far smaller amounts. So I presume the same thing would happen, but I don't know. Like I think there's some of those counties there that are mentioned that wouldn't let it happen. The people in the county wouldn't let it happen.
Yeah.
Some heavy hitters there listed.
Oh, big time. Yeah. Can I just mention a quick aside on that? And you mentioning Division 1B of the hurling kind of kickstarted this in my mind. And look, I know hurling is king in this country when it comes to the summer and the big game start and the fastball, et cetera, et cetera. The hurling leagues, they do very little for me. like you have the great games like Cork and Limerick, and I will sit down and watch them.
What's this attack?
No, this isn't an attack. But my point about this is, I was chatting to someone about this yesterday, albeit in a football county. But the hurling leagues, there's a large element of shadow boxing, I feel, about the hurling leagues. I feel like the jeopardy isn't huge. I feel like teams don't want to show too much. I feel like the Clare Limerick teams, for example, that we're going to see at the height of the summer, just will be on a different stratosphere to the teams that we're seeing at the moment. And what I mean by that is, in comparison, the quality of the football leagues at the moment, in Division One particularly, teams are at fever pitch. You know, they want to, because you go straight from league into championship, obviously you want to be at fever pitch anyway. But the quality level, in terms of, not in terms of effort, but certainly in terms of entertainment that you're getting, I think, and maybe it's because, look, we have the new rules in Gaelic football, so football fans are a little bit of a high at the moment, but there's just something about the hurling leagues that really fail to ignite any sort of a spark in my being. And the championship, by the way, I absolutely love it. Eamon, good morning, how are things?
Morning, Shane, how's the form, how are you?
All good. We were just having a discussion there about the hurling and football leagues. I was kind of just making the point, I'm getting a bit of heat for it in the YouTube comments, that the hurling leagues just don't do it for me. The hurling championship absolutely does it for me. There's just something about the football leagues wherein the phrase "it's only the league" is rarely used. Like, you know, there's less shadow boxing. Where do you stand on this one?
I'm going to side with you, my Ulster partner. I rarely switch on for the hurling leagues. I don't know, is that because I'm a football man first, but hurling championship just it has me, and you know, most games you're tuned into and you're following, they blow out brilliant games. But during the league, there's very little there that grabs me, and I'm not au fait with in terms of who goes up and who goes down, and I there just seems to be a wee bit of non-threat, whether with the football leagues, there's a real cutthroat, and there's an argument that the league aspect of football, or the Gaelic football, is the better part of the season for Gaelic.
Mm. A couple of comments coming in. Brian Murphy says they need to outlaw the pass back to the goalie from puckouts in hurling, and they need to police the throwing. Hurling isn't immune from pukification tactics. Kilkenny fan, by the way. And PWell74, hurling is the good child just doing what it should, not looking for attention, while football is the awkward child needing attention, looking for praise. We're gonna rile people up here. But it, like, has it changed, Eamon? Like from when you were in your playing days with Donegal, the league presumably was still massive. You know, you still had to be at fever pitch. The Ulster Championship back then probably took on more significance because of the structures. Now it's changed a tad, but the leagues were still big.
The leagues were big, you know, and. You know, obviously the All-Ireland medal is the number one for me, but if anybody forgets to add the National League title to my CV, you know, I'm quick to say that I won one, and it is important. You know, it was an important medal to get now, but it was different back then because it was more drawn out. Whether I think now with the condensed season, you have to be up to a certain pitch of things. You know, if you had a bad league, if you're cleaned out in the first two or three games, it wasn't panic stations. But if you're here in the split season, championships coming up in April, that you need to fix something. And from an injury perspective, you get injured and you get a bad injury, then you're probably going to miss the league, and you're missing out in that preparation, that game time for championships. So they are probably more important in terms of getting that prep in. And if we stay without the preseason, then obviously game time is where it's at, and that's where you need to. That's where you need to show what you're about now. So they were important back in the day, but you could gradually move up through the gears, whether now you have to, you know, hit the ground more running.
The new rules, Eamon, like if 100 is complete and utter satisfaction with the new Gaelic football rules and 0 is disgust with the new rules, what number are you sitting on?
I would say I'm sitting between 75% to 85. Right. Obviously, there's one or two things the handling. I was chatting to James Horn during the week there, and I says, whatever you do, just get rid of handing the ball back. I don't care about anything. I don't care about keepers. Get rid of the handing the ball. And that's only a wee thing. I think there's a few making an argument that the keeper unfairly creates that 12 v 11. I think with a wee bit of, you know, homework and a wee bit of preparation, we can come up with something. And that's really interesting to see what McGuinness comes up with in terms of how he deals with Ethan Rafferty on Sunday. But I would be very, very happy, very, very happy with the rules so far. And we do have to give them more time. There was good games and there was bad games with the old set of rules. So we'll give them more time and we'll see at the end of the league, and then we'll make a call and whatever needs to be made a call on. Huh?